Let us hear the word of God. We turn now in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy, and we are reading chapter 33. Chapter 33 in the book of Deuteronomy. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down and from you receive instruction. The law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled along with the tribes of Israel. Let Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few." And this is said about Judah. "Hear, O Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to his people. With his own hands he defends his cause. O be his help against his foes." About Levi, he said, "Your Thummim and Urim belong to the man you favored. You tested him at Massah. You contended with him at the waters of Meribah. He said of his father and mother, 'I have no regard for them.' He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children, but he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless all his skills, O Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hands. Smite the loins of those who rise up against him. Strike his foes till they rise no more." About Benjamin he said, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." About Joseph he said, "May the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above, and with the deep waters that lie below. With the best the sun brings forth, and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains, and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favour of him who dwelt in the burning bush. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. In majesty he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he will gore the nations, even those at the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim. Such are the thousands of Manasseh." About Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tents. They will summon peoples to the mountain, and there offer sacrifices of righteousness. They will feast on the abundance of the seas, on the treasures hidden in the sand." About Gad, he said, "Blessed is he who enlarges Gad's domain. Gad lives there like a lion, tearing at arm or head. He chose the best land for himself. The leader's portion was kept for him. When the heads of the people assembled, he carried out the Lord's righteous will and his judgments concerning Israel." About Dan, he said, "Dan is a lion's cub, springing out of Bashan." About Naphtali, he said, "Naphtali is abounding with the favour of the Lord, and is full of his blessing. He will inherit southward to the lake." About Asher, he said, "Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favoured by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.' So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of corn and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you? a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will trample down their high places. May God bless us that reading of His Word of Truth for His own name's sake. For our meditation on God's Word this evening, friends, we turn back to that chapter in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we shall be thinking of verses 26 to 29. Verses 26 to 29, our subject this evening, God our portion. Moses was a great writer, a highly educated man, skilled in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, brought up as an Egyptian prince. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, and these are the last words that Moses wrote. They describe God in relation to his people, Israel, and so they apply to the church in every age of time. For all the redeemed are the Israel of God, as the New Testament makes very clear. If we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Just consider with me for a brief moment the occasion when Moses addressed the people in this way. They realized that Moses' life was drawing to a close. His days on earth were almost over. They were about to enter the promised land without him. In spite of the trouble they had as a people given him on a number of occasions, they knew that under God he was a great leader, one of the greatest leaders this world has ever known. A number of years ago I watched a BBC interviewer speaking to General Montgomery. And he asked him who he regarded as the greatest general in history. Montgomery instantly replied, Moses. Disconcerting his interviewer. The people of Israel were more afraid now than at any time since the Exodus. They weren't sure what lay ahead. They needed reassurance. Even Joshua, Moses' successor, was afraid as he faced the task of leading them into that land. Again and again, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Read that first chapter in that book of Joshua and you can see that for yourself. So this is a critical moment for Israel. These words of Moses are as beautiful as they are profound. They've ever been dear to the Lord's people. And just now we shall ring the changes on prepositions suggested by these verses. Turning to verse 26. A God over us. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you. Jeshurun means righteous one. It was a term of endearment for Israel. God loves his chosen people. It was Israel's honor to have such a God. Other nations boasted of their gods, but Israel's God was a God of sovereign power and authority. He rides upon the heavens. Those words denote his greatness. He manages, he controls his universe. The best horse rider may lose control at times, but God never loses control. God's people were blessed beyond words in being taken into covenant with such a God of absolute sovereignty. And so this verse begins, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. When we make these words our own, we're praising God. and in turn we are receiving His blessing. No wonder the Apostle Paul could write, "If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." God reigns. He is clothed with majesty. He is over us in wisdom and power and in love and grace. We look up to Him in ceaseless adoration. The eternal God is there. No one like the God of Yeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in His majesty. A God over us. At the beginning of the 27th verse, a God for us. The eternal God is your refuge. Refuge or dwelling place. In Him we find safety and rest forever, for our God is eternal. We usually feel fairly safe in our homes, friends, and yet we know we're not entirely safe. As we know all too well, when we hear of helpless, defenseless people attacked and robbed in their homes. We've heard so much of that in recent months in our own province. There's no safe place in this world. There's no place of refuge on this earth. But the eternal God is our refuge. We are at home in God. And so we read in Psalm 90, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." And in Isaiah chapter 25, "Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." We could quote so many similar statements from God's word. A God for us. Oh, how we need to realize this as we seek to witness for God and His truth in a hostile world. I'm wondering if when the shadows fall and trials come, as trials often do, do you know the certain refuge from it all? Do you? I'm wondering here in this sorry place of sin and shame, where nations bleed and die, if I might share with you God's gift of grace. May I? "Lift up your heart in childlike faith, lo, He is with you always, though the path be rough. Slip your hand in His hand, and He will be enough." A God for us. Now, in this 27th verse, we also see a God under us. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Those arms are everlasting. Those arms are all-powerful. Hands to hold us, arms to bear us up. The almighty power of God is engaged for the protection and the comfort of all who trust in Him. No matter how heavy the burden, or how severe the trial, or how great the temptation, those everlasting arms are round about, and we are kept by the power of God. Psalm 89, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand." Isaiah 41, "I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And so when you feel weak and fearful and afraid, remember the God whose everlasting arms are underneath you to uphold you, to support you, to keep you. Not only is this true for the individual believer, but also it is equally true for the church. Where would the church be if it were not for God's supporting arms? How often the very existence of the church has been threatened to the point of extinction, and yet she has survived. In times of persecution, God has upheld His people. God's everlasting covenant grace guarantees the safety of His church, for which the Savior died, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. A God under us, underneath, are the everlasting arms. But then at the end of that 27th verse, a God before us, a God before us. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. Israel was about to enter a land in the possession of a strong, warrior-like people, with a very wicked and corrupt people, and God's righteous judgment is about to fall on them. You know, friends, there are those radical, liberal critics of Scripture who say, you know, these books like Deuteronomy and so on aren't fit to be used in the church today. They say that they teach ethnic cleansing. I know of a Bible study group that meets in Europe on a regular basis. I know the man who conducts it and who leads it. And there are those who come along who would share some of those liberal, higher critical views, and who put this argument across very strongly. We oughtn't to be reading some of these Old Testament books because they teach ethnic cleansing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The people in this land that was going to be overcome by the Israelites were a people like those of Sodom and Gomorrah, exceedingly wicked people, and they were about to experience the righteous judgment of a sin-hating God, and Israel would be his instrument in bringing about that judgment upon them. So Israel is called to battle, and they will be victorious. But as we were reminded in Psalm 44 this evening, not in their own strength or by their own wisdom. God will go before them. He will give them the victory. And so in that 44th Psalm we read, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us. It will be told in generation after generation for a long, long time to come. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and planted them, that's Israel, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favour unto them. God still gives the victory to those who look to him. As I said, the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. Our God goes before. He prepares the way. He leads the victory. There's an old word that you find in the Authorized Version, the King James Version of the Bible, the word prevent. It meant in that time when the AV was prepared in the year 1611, it meant to go before from the Latin. And so in the AV we read in Psalm 59:10, the God of mercy shall prevent me. Go before me. Psalm 88:13, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee or come to thee. Psalm 79:8, let thy tender mercies prevent us, come to us and go before us. And so in Deuteronomy 33, at the end of that 27th verse, we have a God who goes before, a God who leads, who opens up the way, and he provides for our needs. Then as you look at that 28th verse, friends, you have a God to us. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. A God to us. God's abundant gifts are liberally bestowed upon his people. They dwell in safety alone, distinct, separate from an evil world, alone with God. Israel was safe when she remained alone with God, not when she made alliances with heathen nations. So those who keep close to God are kept in safety. And we are reminded here in this 28th verse, we are reminded of God's bounty, especially in the harvest season. We read there in that 28th verse, Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of corn and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. And so spiritually, we are blessed and enriched beyond measure as we walk in fellowship with the Lord. Israel was going to a land of plenty, a land of corn and wine, but God would have them and us have the eye of faith on that heavenly Canaan, a land replenished with spiritual blessings and joys far beyond our comprehension. As we read in Psalm 68, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He is a God to us continually. What great comfort we have here. What great blessings are described here. What peace this ought to bring to the hearts of God's believing people, to know that we have such a God as it described in these last words written and spoken by his servant Moses. Now in the 29th verse, we have a God around us. O Israel, who is like unto you? A people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. A God around us. And here the emphasis is on guardianship. He's our shield. He's our sword. We are safely guarded against all assailants. No one can tear us from the Savior's mighty hands. He's round about us as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, for our protection and for our peace. Listen to what God says about his people through the prophet Zechariah. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. God around us. God in us. Friends, here is safety and certainty and peace. Happy is that people that is in such a state. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. How near and how real God is to his people. That's what's been brought out here in these closing verses. He himself is our portion eternally. I wonder how much we realize this. I wonder how much we think about it. Do we lean more on man than upon God? Do we tend to trust more in our own resources than upon the Lord? We say that the Lord Jesus is our Savior, but do we trust him to keep us and to provide for us all our days? God of the burning bush, give me a burning heart. From this earth's frantic rush, help me to draw apart. Keep me while nations fall and atoms split in space. Looking beyond it all, steadfastly on my face. Give me the lifted look that all who pass may see, as written in the book, thy grace inscribed on me. A God over us, a God for us, a God under us, a God before us, a God to us, a God around us. Amen and Amen.